I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases.
I tell you what, this is Jim. Let's try that again.
Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Monday, September 30th. Yes, I got the wrong date back there. All right, Monday, September 30th, 2024. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about tonight. So we're here on Thursday, I believe, was the last day. Now I know that we're broadcasting on Safety FM. We'll just turn that down. What are the updates? Nothing happened with Mayor Adams at all. That's the update. You know, EMP, nothing happened, but we do have Hurricane Helena, and we have another hurricane or tropical storm or depression coming through. I'm sure that if you are in the targeted area of Hurricane Helena, that's Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, you'll have a depression here. So we're going to kick off the day, the program, by saying this, right? I often hear this. We have Pete Rose. He did not make it into the Hall of Fame. Blah, 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 blah. And you hear this again and again and again. And it turns out that Pete Rose passed away right before the announcement was made, right before airtime. And let me see here. And it's a little bit annoying because you always hear, Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame. Blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? They do have a section set up in Cooperstown for, let's see if I got it right here, for Pete Rose. See if I can get it on the phone. I'll put it on the camera here. Hold on. I should have had this set up. I know I should have had this set up beforehand. Yeah, there it is. So I'm going to hold it up to the camera right there. Right? That is Pete Rose. They have a little display for him at the Baseball Hall of Fame. So he did make it into the Hall of Fame there. However, he did not make it into the plaque area. He has the most hits and the most number of played games here. And they had him in with Ty Cobb, right, as on the display. So in a matter of speaking, he did make it in to the Baseball Hall of Fame, just not in the hall of the hall with all the plaques and everything. So rest in peace. He's a man that is controversial. We'll say that some. We could talk about. That's all the thing, right? We could talk about. He shouldn't have been gambling on the game of baseball. He shouldn't have done that because then he wants it to turn out one way or another. And on one of the promos that I have here, one of the parody promos, what I call, I have on there about a Jerry Springer type talk show. And where I'm the host, obviously, and where a employer takes out a life insurance policy on his most dangerous workers, hoping not to make a big payout if they die on the job, sort of thing. And it's sort of like the same thing that we're dealing with him. Gambling on baseball, is he influencing the behavior of the game, so to speak, or the outcome of the game to cover gambling issues, right? Whether you're betting for the team or against the team or what have you. How often does that happen at work? Well, we're going to gamble. We're going to do it wrong, but our gamble is that no one's going to get hurt. That's our gamble. We're not taking the risk. And as I point out all the time, what is risk? Risk is, on one part of the graph, the likelihood something's going to happen. On the other part of the graph, the consequences. Now, you're a foreman. You're not an owner. You're a foreman. You're a supervisor. Things of that along that line. You're willing to take a risk. Right, you're willing to take a risk here for things, right? You're ready to take a risk. And what's the consequence for you? Are you held accountable for your decision? Someone gets hurt, are you held accountable? Somehow. I'm not saying fire. I'm not saying demote. I'm not saying anything. There is a company that I'm heard about today in a meeting where they someone got a major injury and they did hold the foreman accountable because the person should have never been doing what he was doing and it was done in front of the foreman. Foreman didn't put a stop to it. So they were held accountable. Do I think, whatever it was, I'm not going to say what it was because it'll be obvious where it happened and who did it for those listeners out there familiar with the case. So, again, and that's usually where it comes down to. There is no risk for a lot of these supervisors and managers. Their risk is they're going to lose their job. Then they're going to find a new job. Some people are empathetic, and they're like, oh, my God, someone got hurt. Someone got killed. Someone like that, they feel guilty. We're not talking about those. The people out there, and if they're that way, if your supervisor that way who really cares about you and really cares about your team in the workplace, that's a good supervisor, in my opinion, as far as that goes. But we're talking about how many times do I see someone getting hurt, and he's like, well, just his time to go, Jim. God called them home. Not acceptable. Well, shit happens. Not acceptable. How about public officials? We have this quote from Joseph Stalin out there. Famous quote. One death is a tragedy. A million a statistic. How's your public health people? Your emergency managers? How are they doing? What kind of decisions are they made? Because they remember they at a minimum have qualified immunity or sovereign immunity. They'll make any decision they want. Nothing will ever happen. Well, go back and listen to our September 11th program this year, where I let it all hang out. This is just the way it is, folks. Who's taking the risk, right? And the whole Pete Rose thing, he might have been influencing the games based on his bet, well, on his payout, on his risk, what risk he was going to take. Does your employer do that? And if you're condemning Pete Rose, maybe perhaps you should look in the mirror here. And I'm not advocating what he allegedly did. I'm not familiar with the evidence or anything. I'm not advocating for it. However, don't judge, lest ye be judged. Right? On the same standards. don't be too harsh. But remember, you know, all of this works in here. Now, second thing, I was talking to some emergency managers and some people in the insurance industry over the weekend, specifically on Hurricane Helene and its aftermath. And what about, no, we talk about, we know the disaster, we know people hurt. As of right now, 120 people hurt, 1,000 unaccounted for, whatever that means. We have reports this is from CNN. At least 128 people have died across six states, and officials fear the death toll can rise. Many more remain missing, perhaps unable to leave their location or unable to contact family where communications infrastructure is in shreds. We're going to be reaching out to some potential sponsors here where we're going to talk. Pardon me, I don't know my... I had dinner right before the show. Hope my face is clean. Now everybody's going to run over the video. Yeah, run over the video. See Jim with a dirty face. But anyway, there's a... Right here we have from hundreds of roads remain closed, especially in the Carolinas, because the storm like came up this way and did a loop-de-loop sort of thing and remained over northern North Carolina. And more than 2 million customers remain without power, according to poweroutage.us. I didn't know that there was such a thing, poweroutage.us. There's a medium chance of a new storm that develops in the Western Caribbean or Gulf of Mexico later this week. So really know where we'll go from there. President Joe Biden will visit some of the affected communities later this week, as soon as it will not disrupt emergency response operations. Presidential candidates Kamala Harris and Donald Trump have expressed condolences to those affected. So I was talking to the insurance agents and a couple of other people here. Don't forget that if you're, even if you're hundreds of miles away and you're dealing with these things, paperwork, FEMA loans, insurance claims, anything like that, that takes a psychological toll on you because you have to read all these reports. And on top of that, from some of the information I have, a lot of people do not have the appropriate coverage or enough coverage for this stuff, specifically homeowners associations. Because what's their thing? They're volunteers, usually, and doing the best they can. However, they may not be very insurance savvy or safety savvy. So they don't look at that. Well, give me the cheapest policy possible so I don't have to raise our homeowner fee rates. I'm a member of a homeowners association. My parents were a member of the same homeowners association for 46 years. I understand rates go up. However, I also understand on the safety end, not all insurance carriers are trying, or brokers are upselling you on everything. That's not exactly what happened. They're not upselling you on everything. Some do, but not necessarily. Listen to what they say. So, for example, I'll give you a good for example. The price of building materials since the COVID-19 pandemic went up astronomically. It's a good idea. I'm not an insurance broker. I'm not giving you legal advice. But if it were me, I'm just selling peer-to-peer advice here. Talk to your insurance agent when you can get them on the phone because they're dealing with this. Do I have enough insurance? Okay, maybe I bought my house. I'm just throwing a number out there, $100,000 30 years ago. Now, to replace that house, it may be $500,000 now, a comparable house. But you're still walking around with an insurance policy that'll only cover you for $100,000. You're going to have a problem when you have a problem. Again, all of this stuff goes into that. But there's a big psychological stress with that. And maybe we'll go into that with what the psychological stresses are on a very near future program here. But remember, take time for yourself. If you need to talk, talk to people. If you need to say, you know, time out, I need a moment, I need time out, take a moment. If you need to go and get your little Shrek doll and hug your little Shrek doll, go and hug your little Shrek doll. Oh, hug your little Shrek doll there, right? Whatever you need to do. My daughter gave me that, so I keep it here on the desk. But with that, I mean, just hellish things. We're seeing reports of bodies in trees. The pictures we're seeing of Asheville, North Carolina, completely destroyed. 12 foot of mud on the street in some of these places. I mean, it's just a nightmare. Now, the other thing is this. Communication. Jim will have cell phone access. A lot of those people don't have cell phone access. Don't have it. No cell phone towers. So what are you going to do? Not everybody has Starlink. I'm not giving them a plug, but not everybody has that. How about radios? Handheld radios. CB radio? And on a clear day, clear view, point to point? I believe, if memory serves you right, it does it at broadcast at a 4-watt energy, right? And if you have it in a car, it's a little bit more than that. Guess what? Now you have 3 to 5 miles, roughly. I've gotten it as far as 3 miles, 4 miles away. My brother used to get it with his setup about when we were kids, about 12 miles away on that, from Woodbridge, New Jersey to Edison, New Jersey. Pretty long range. Well, that sounds like a joke. Well, guess what? Those people wish they had that out there. They also have satellite text, satellite phones, but they also have satellite text services. We're able to use text messaging on things. How about that? Allegedly, right? Electrical cars shorting out and exploding. So maybe the electric cars aren't all they're cracked up to be in these situations. Right? Officials are urging those who evacuated and left electric vehicles or golf carts in garages or under buildings to report them if they cannot safely access or move them. Saltwater exposure can damage the battery components in electric vehicles, potentially leading to dangerous chemical reactions that could cause the vehicles to catch fire. So, that's basically it with that. And you can't charge an electric car without electric. This is out of the smoking gun this afternoon. Cops, hurricane looters hit Trump merch store. Suspect claimed stolen goods had just washed up during the storm. As Hurricane Helene battered a Florida city covered by a state of emergency declarations, two men allegedly burglarized a Trump store stocked with merchandise, promoting the ex-president, according to the cops, who say one of the alleged looters was wearing a Trump cowboy hat. Anyway, they had merchandise that matched items stolen from the Trump store they were caught with, and you know they're being held. What could be the, this is from Newsweek, what could be the October surprise in a political season of surprises? I don't know what that could be. In October 2016, it was the unaired video showing Donald Trump bragging about women, right, and his conquest. When I heard it, I said, you know what? I've run in those circles before, and I absolutely believe it. That could happen. I mean, you know, even people like me, and believe me, I don't have to put on a Boy Scout uniform to tell you I'm a little bit of a Boy Scout here. I have the Boy Scout uniform upstairs if you need to see me in it. But anyway, you're at these political events, you're at these events, and it does happen, even with this little modest broadcasts like this, you get a lot of feedback. I'm not talking this feedback. I'm talking feedback from certain people, and it's like, you know what? I could see where people could get into trouble. Just my observation. And when I was involved in politics, people did get into trouble with stuff. Just the way it is, I can see where it could happen. But anyway, I digress here. But what's going to be the October surprise? I have no idea what the October surprise is going to be here, but doesn't look good here for anybody. So what Newsweek is saying, so there are other October surprises. Up until June, it seemed like the 2024 election was political deja vu. I'm reading from Newsweek. And the rematch was dull. Now it's not so dull anymore. So what are we looking for an October surprise? Have no idea. Here it could go either way. This is anybody's game with this election here. Okay, so what do we have? We have the perfect storm going on here. I'm going to go for a commercial break because I got to set this up a little bit more. I don't have the article open that I want to share with you folks. So we're going to go to our first commercial break, and I will see you in a minute.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
I'm sure you've heard the news. Safety training is evolving, and you should be too. Outdated safety training isn't just boring, it's dangerous. If your safety trainer is still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety from 25 years ago, it's time for a change. Imagine safety training that actually addresses the hazards unique to your workplace. No more generic, one-size-fits-all solutions. The Safety Wars team at safetywars.com is here to revolutionize how you approach safety with customized training that's relevant, engaging, and effective. Contact Jim Polzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. Say goodbye to outdated safety training and hello to a safer, more productive environment. Visit safetywars.com now.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
So, here we have the Gluvno show, which is more disruption in the supply chain. Here we have U.S. East Coast port strike looms as union and management trade wage offers. This is all for Reuters. With U.S. East and Gulf Coast port workers set to strike in less than 5 hours, it was at 7 p.m. this was released, a port operator alliance said on Monday it traded new wage offers with the union, raising the outside possibility of a settlement before a halt to container traffic from Maine to Texas. That includes the Gulf of Mexico. if you're following along. The labor contract between the International Longshoremen's Association Union, representing 45,000 port workers, and U.S. Maritime Allowance Employer Group, expires late on Monday, with negotiations at an impasse over pay. USMX said in a statement Monday it had offered to hike wages by 50%. I don't know how long of a time is, and traded new proposals with the union in the last 24 hours. And the strike would cost the U.S. economy $5 billion a day. Now, they rejected it. They're going back and forth. Now, what does it mean to you? All right, is what the question is. So something to remember is that according to what I've read today, one-fifth of all imports into the United States come through the East Coast ports, right? I think that's a little bit low, but that's what I've read. That might just be the New York area ports. Now, this is, I've been nervously watching the Tuesday strike deadline. By the way, you heard it here first on Safety Words on Safety FM. And we heard that from insiders that contacted friends of the program. As now appears likely, it could choke off the supplies of many popular products that flow over these docks, but not necessarily right away. So here are the limits. It does make economic or logistical sense to ship many of the goods that come into the East Coast by alternative points of entry or by plane. So what does that mean? America could see some shortages of chocolate, alcohol, popular fruit, including bananas and cherries, and even certain cars. If the strike lasts a long time, that could mean higher prices for goods that are available. So they're hoping to have that holiday shopping will not be impacted by this, and they can get everything in there. And it takes 5 days, up to 5 working days for every 1 day of strike in this situation, estimated. Do you realize that 25% of banana consumption comes through the Port of Wilmington? Wow. But, 90% of imported cherries come through those things. Imported chocolates and meats from Europe being in short supply. And it's going to be more money to... going to be more money to do to deal with that. Incredible. Don't worry about the about that Halloween chocolate. And if you're celebrating Oktoberfest like we were tonight, there's enough German beer. However, we do have American beers that are German style, and beers from China that were developed by German immigrants and colonists in China. One popular one, Tsingtao, Green Island, that was set up by a German company in China at the beginning of last century. So that's basically it with that. Now, what's the moral of the story, since this is the last day of Disaster Preparation Month? Here we have the perfect storm. Hurricanes, another one may be coming through. You have the port disruption. You have floods because of the hurricane. You have a U.S. election. You have all different types of stuff going on, I'm sure, in your own personal life. You have gold. What's the price of gold today? Let's see. I'm getting all different phone calls and everything. Price of gold. Dow Jones Industrial at 42,000. Price of gold is at 26.57. That we used to mention it all the time here. And Bitcoin is at 63,276. Crude oil is still good. Again, I don't know how the crude oil is going to be impacted. Crude oil does not come through ports. Does come in through oil depots. I don't know if that's going to be impacted at all. That's a good question. So what's the point? Stock up on some stuff. My daughter loves bananas, so we got some bananas tonight. Probably, you know, in a week we won't have any, if this goes that long. Go out. Concentrate on one thing. So here we may have a supply disruption. Got some extra stuff. I'm going to try, if I can, if this goes on, I'm going to try to drive down in the vicinity of some of these places, see if we get some footage of this. We'll post it. We have to see what they're doing here. We're going to mosey on over to our normal press releases here, and we will do a share screen. It's weird for me to be here on a Monday, right? Usually we're not here on a Monday. So they did not update the OSHA website today, so we went right to the Department of Labor, right? And minimum wages in American Samoa increased by 40 cents per hour. Workers on American Samoa employed in industries covered by the Fair Minimum Wage Act of 2007 will receive a 40 cent increase in their hourly wage beginning today. The Fair Labor Standards Act applies generally to employment in American Samoa as it does to employment in the U.S. Going on, and American Samoa's minimum wage rates are set for particular industries, not for an employee's particular occupation. These rates are minimum rates, but an employer may choose to pay an employee at a rate higher than the industry's specific rate. The law also requires employers to display a poster. So this is like broken out by industry here. So for example, bottling, brewing, and dairy products, $6.29. Publishing, $6.73. And pretty interesting here. And no, this is kind of, I don't know how much $6.70 an hour will go here for minimum wage in American Samoa. Don't know. Not a lot. Again, I'm going through here, and if you're following along on the video portion here, we have all the Department of Labor is involved in a lot of recouping and back wages here. You think this stuff doesn't go on because it's 2024. Guess what? It's going on all the time. U.S. Department of Labor has obtained a permanent injunction and a court order forbidding a California transportation company from retaliating against drivers and illegally shifting liability for labor law violations onto workers who exercise their federally protected rights. In other words, they are whistleblowers, or they are mentioning some type of labor law violation, including OSHA. Could be other things, too. And the company is saying, okay, well, shame on you. We're going to screw you over somehow. The department's office solicitor learned that after a group of drivers filed suit against the company for alleged labor violations, the company threatened to countersue the drivers for more than $150,000 in attorney fees. Drivers alleged the company intimidated drivers and threatened to terminate those who persisted in seeking unpaid wages and other remedies for the alleged violation of their rights under the Fair Labor Standards Act and California Labor Code. In fact, the company sent drivers involved in the lawsuit letters claiming that they materially breached terms of service, that they were required to sign the agreements, included indemnity clauses that the company threatened to enforce against these workers to turn them from exercising their rights. You gotta love it when these people put shit in writing. It's great. To further deter workers from pursuing their rights, the agreements had an arbitration provision that arguably barred workers from seeking collective relief against the company regarding the unlawful indemnity clauses. Employers should know better than to attempt to enforce indemnity clauses that purport to shift liability for wage and other labor law violations onto workers. I mean, where are we? In the 1930s at this company? 1920s? I don't know. Yes, The Entertainer, right? I have in that. Maybe we should have this one going. Right? Slapstick comedy. I mean, really? I've heard of this. No, back 30 years ago, I heard of stuff like this. But we learn, as we go along, we learn more. And this is all illegal. You can't say to an employee, I'm going to, you violated an OSHA regulation. Well, guess what? You're going to be paying for the fine, too. Can't do that. The department's legal action is part of a larger effort to combat employers' attempts to enforce coercive provisions and contracts that seek to dissuade and punish workers from attempting to enforce their legal employment rights. And they mention a whole bunch of other places that, believe it or not, are here in the Northeast, including a staffing company that looks like a medical staffing company and a bakery. I got the hiccups now. It is a transportation logistics company that provides drivers to transfer freight for shipping companies and has a mobile application for use by drivers. And going on and on and on. Incredible. It's like, really, this stuff is still going on? Department of Labor launches tool to provide workers with disabilities and employers ideas for workplace accommodations. As the nation marks National Disability Employment Awareness Month, the U.S. Department of Labor today announced the availability of a new tool that provides access to more than 700 accommodation ideas. We're going to go over all 700 of them right now. No, I'm only kidding. The Situations and Solution Finders offers examples of workplace accommodations. Let's see what this is about. Job Accommodation Network. There we were showing you. Enter keyword. Safety professional. Disability. AIDS, right? Addiction. Addison's disease, allergies. Alzheimer's. Lou Gehrig's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, a friend in the family came down with that, arthritis, ataxia. So what do we have here? What's a good disability to try here? Learning disability, leg impairment, Lyme disease. Okay. Limitation. Well, bodily function. Is it a body odor? Communicability contagious. Coughing or excessively. Dietary needs. Headache, nausea, pain. Cognition. I had Lyme disease, so I could, believe me, I know that. Motor. Gross motor. Limitations. And an occupation? We already picked that. Okay. Find results. Nothing. Okay, I guess we gotta pick something. Let's do this. Construction worker. Building contractor. Find results. Nothing. Okay. Not so good after all. Okay, find results. Okay, here we go. Match any filtered item. A new hire with POTS was beginning for a hotel receptionist position, and this is going on. And... employee could not sit down for long periods of time. After the employer requested accommodation, the employer staggered the training schedule, enabled her to sit in the training in the mornings and job shadow in the afternoons. Okay. A state outreach coordinator had 700 things coming back here, results. Employer approved the request. I guess it's a good idea. I mean, sometimes you're at the end of your rope with some of these situations, and you get burnout and stuff. I get it. Now, you may need a tool to help you. That's one of them. Okay. Here we have share. Now, I always say, you know, this is weird. The Department of Labor obtained this order forbidding California transportation provider from retaliating against drivers. Here, we just read this. But, you know, again, it's weird. Why? You're not allowed to do it anyway, so why do you need a court order to stop you from doing it? I don't know. I don't get it. Here, what else? 840. We covered that. Okay. MSHA has issued, no, so every couple of months, MSHA, Mine Safety and Health Administration, comes out with like an update on the impact inspections that they have, right? So the U.S. Department of Labor completed August 2024 impact inspections at 14 mines with repeated health and safety violations and issued 253 violations. So they completed 14 mine inspections in 10 states in August 2024, issuing 253 violations. The agency began conducting inspections after an April 2010 explosion in West Virginia at the Upper Big Branch mine, killing 29 miners. They identified 4,567 violations, including 1,261 significant and substantial and 87 unwarrantable failure findings. An S&S violation, significant and substantial warning, is a violation that can be contributed to in a significant and substantial way to the cause and effect of safety or health hazards. Violations designated as unwarrantable failures occur when an inspector finds aggravated conduct that constitutes more than ordinary negligence. It is vital that miners play an active role in their safety and health by identifying hazards, reporting them to MSHA for investigation, appropriate enforcement action, and abatement, said Assistant Secretary for Mine Safety and Health, Chris Williamson. Impact inspections are a valuable enforcement tool. Agency conducts all this other stuff. So here are some of the things, right? During an August 12, 2024 inspection, investigators identified 35 violations of mandatory safety and health standards, including 13 S&S violations and 3 unwarrantable failure findings. Specifically, inspectors found the following. 2 untrained miners were found working at the site, including leading to the issuance of a Section 104G1 withdrawal order for the miners until they complete required training. The CIFA order is issued to eliminate the hazard. Untrained and inadequately trained miners expose themselves and others. A miner was found working 13 feet above ground and without proper fall protection, resulting in an imminent danger order. In 2023, MSHA issued a safety alert regarding the hazards of falls. We'll talk about that. And it goes on some of the things. Several unsafe conditions were discovered at 3 unwarrantable failure findings issued. So housekeeping was number 1, specifically aisles blocked. A few things to keep it clean. An operating conveyor's head fully lacked guards. The area below an elevator where miners work was exposed to falling material. Numerous electrical hazards. Another thing, Marion, West Virginia, a mine was selected given its compliance complaint history. Inspectors arrived. They found 12 things. Accumulations of combustible materials. Previous examinations did not fully detect and report hazard conditions underground along belt conveyors led to an unwarranted failure finding. And they talked about safe alerts. So let me go through here. See, we have a link to everything here. We have an Adobe Acrobat file coming up. Let's see what this is. Wow. And again, they just issue a spreadsheet here. Again, this is all publicly available information. Here, so what? Let's see here. So here we have the district, the location, the mine ID, the controller name here, the operator name, the mine name, and the number of citations. And I don't normally handle mines, but if it's in the press release, we'll cover it usually. Different citation issues here under MSHA regulations. And so anyway, very interesting. I encourage you to look it up yourself with that, because it's we're going to go off the summary here. Now, the safety alerts, as far as from MSHA, here we have fall protection things, right? Documents. And here we have, again, I see this all the time. So here we have the workers attached with harnesses on, nothing attached to nothing. And it looks like the worker might have accessed this on from a class 7 forklift up there, access an elevated work area. Now, I have to mention this. For a safety professional to catch this type of thing, they have to be very far away from the work area. So they're working at height, right? So the safety professional has to be out a ways. Depending on how high you are, that's how far you have to be out there. You can do the math. Has to be able to go out. But what happens is, looking at this from the ground, these two workers, if you're not on the video stream, you're on audio, you're seeing, you can't see it, but from the bottom, looking up on top, I can tell you this through experience. It looks like that those folks are tied off. You got to go out a ways, and then then you're able to see that they're not tied off, right? Here we have a mechanic on the next thing, standing on a wheel. The workers there were standing on some type of a silo or something. Again, mechanic working on a front end loader, it looks like. Might be another piece of machinery. No fall protection, standing on a wheel. Okay, and then we have the good and safe use, right? They have examples there. And then they have it in Spanish here. And again, do they have this? Yeah, they have this here. Fall protection. Again, no. Well, how high do you have to be? Well, it's irrelevant. You can get hurt from any fall with that. And here we have the United States power outage map. And this is pretty interesting here. All right, this is from poweroutage.us, and here we have number electrical customers without power. Everything that they're recording here is, so you have less than 10,000 people with a power outage. It looks like you're not going to make the map here. So at yellow, it's, 10,000. Right, plus looks like up to 50,000. So in Ohio, there's 11,723 without power. West Virginia, 16,000. Right, and then Virginia, 82,000. North Carolina, 309,000. South Carolina, 674,000. Georgia, 488,000. And Florida, 77,022. And a lot of people here, right? And this has been updated as of 10 minutes ago, and it's 50 minutes after the hour. Pretty interesting map. We're going to go to our next commercial break, and we're going to go and figure that things out.
You are listening to Safety Wars. Tomorrow's safety today.
Hey, employers, want to avoid hefty OSHA fines? Listen up, OSHA or the Occupational Safety and Health Administration can issue penalties after inspecting your workplace. If they find violations, you'll get notified by certified mail or in person. You have 15 working days to contest it, or the penalty becomes final. How are penalties determined? It depends on your business size, the severity of the violation, your history, and your good faith efforts. Even if you fix the issue right away, you might still get fined. Let's talk numbers. A willful violation can cost between $11,524 and $161,323. Repeated violations hit up to $161,323. Serious violations can reach $16,131. And other than serious violations can also cost up to $16,131. If you fail to correct a violation, it's $16,131 per day. Lastly, missing a posting requirement? That's another $16,131. Stay informed, stay compliant, and keep your workplace safe to avoid these costly penalties.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars, with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
So here we are. I might as well just go through FEMA. So we're all talking about this. So they put up a... were you affected by Hurricane Helene or Helena? Seven things you need to know about applying for disaster assistance. They have out a nice thing, right? Here, a nice video and everything. When the president approves a major disaster declaration, FEMA is able to provide financial assistance directly to the people to jumpstart their recovery. As FEMA works with state, local, tribal, nation, and territorial government partners to assess needs, assistance becomes available in additional impacted areas. You can use the tool on the law to look up your zip code to see if your area is currently in included. Number two, how to apply. Either through the phone number or visiting the disaster recovery system. What are you going to need? Description of the damage, your address at the time of the disaster, your social security number, contact info, policy number if you have insurance, annual household income, and your bank account information for direct deposit. Remember to document your damage. If you have insurance, file a claim. And what does... FEMA, oh, you gotta love it. I turned the thing off. What does FEMA assistance help you with? Serious needs assistance, money to help you pay for essential items such as food, water, baby formula, breastfeeding supplies, displacement assistance, other eligible expenses there, and what comes next? A home inspection, application, and appeal and delivery funds. I went through this process because we had a flood a couple of years ago here, and which resulted in this beautiful studio being constructed here. And we went through the process. We really didn't get anything. We got a little bit of money, but not much. Nothing to really write home about here. And here we have the disaster declaration things for every county, the disaster declaration documents, applications for assistance. So I'm going to recommend everybody go out there and do what you're supposed to do here. Now, this is sounds a little bit, I don't know. Icky here. So what are their priorities? Disaster response and recovery, equity, climate resilience, because you got to have the climate thrown in there, and readiness, getting prepared for the next disaster. Learn more about strategic things, right? About this stuff. And they have YouTube videos, ambitious goals, equity as, right? So everybody gets treated the same. What does that mean? Everything's to everybody's unique needs here. Equity is the consistent and systemic fair and just impairment. You know what? We're going to do a video on this probably. So that's all I have for tonight. We are going to cut it off a little bit early here and end with our normal patriotic music. And we're going to go from there. So for Safety Wars and Safety FM, this is Jim Polzel. Wanted to thank you for listening. And we will be back here tomorrow. I think I'm planning on being here all 5 days this week. So we'll see you. No, I think last week we made three, so we were doing really good. So we're going to conclude. We're going to have some different music here, but still patriotic music.
Opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.